Okay, we're going to kind of come to order here for the Public Safety Crime Prevention Policy and Finance, February 21st. And since we don't have a quorum yet, what we'll do is just begin hearing the first bill. We can't take any action yet, but Representative Scott, are you ready with House File 1835?
General Register.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
We'll wait to move it until we get a quorum. But Representative Scott, you can go ahead and introduce your bill any way you'd like here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There should be an amendment in the packets. Is there something there?
Yes.
I don't have a copy of that amendment, but what it was supposed to do is grandfather in security companies that have gold vehicles, would grandfather them in so they don't have to start changing their colored vehicles.
Okay, is that the A1 amendment about security guard vehicle?
I'm assuming that's the one. As I said, I don't have it here. It's not delivered to me. So.
Just a question about this amendment.
Yes, thank you.
Representative Scott, does this include indefinitely, or they can use that color, or just until the life of that vehicle is done?
Could we have House Research weigh in on that?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair and members, this would be a grandfather clause for any car that's in use as of August 1st, 2012, so they wouldn't be able to put in new cars into use after that day that are gold.
Okay. We're, as the sheriffs might know, I'm trying to separate security out from peace officers in different bills, and so the color of separations and other things I'm in favor of. All right, Representative Scott, if you want me... Oh, that's right, we don't have a quorum yet, do we, or not? Not quite. Okay, you want to go ahead and explain your amendment?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for hearing this bill. During the interim, I had the pleasure of speaking with my local county sheriff, who is with me today, just asking if there's anything legislatively that could be done to help them save money in this time where all levels of government are trying to cut back and squeeze their belts in a little bit. And he brought this idea forward to me. He said, you know, we're spending a lot of money every year on having to paint vehicles to live up to the statute. Many models of vehicles don't come in the colors that are currently in statute. So that's how the bill got its origin. And with that, Mr. Chair, I do have my local sheriff, James Stewart, here with me, and he's ready to testify.
Sheriff Stewart, if you want to say your name and title and go ahead with your testimony, thank you for being here.
Yes, sir. My name is James Stewart. I'm the Anoka County Sheriff, and so I appreciate the opportunity to come before you this morning. Basically, Mr. Chair, committee members were looking to seek your support to enact legislation to give us a little more flexibility due to primarily the limitations that are imposed by manufacturers. As you're likely aware, current Minnesota statute requires that the color of all marked squads for law enforcement be uniform, and within the scope of police departments, they're allowed a certain scope of colors, and within the sheriff's side, they're allowed to be brown or white. With the required flexibility of the services we provide, oftentimes we have a variety of specialty vehicles. We call them pulling units, but either vans, trucks, SUVs, those kind of things. And unfortunately, none of the current manufacturers provide those in brown. And as one of the sheriffs who run a brown fleet, and we're trying to maintain our consistency and uniformity with the requirement, we are typically buying three of these specialty units or pulling units annually to the tune of about $7,200 to paint them brown. And so we are again asking for an opportunity to explore that on a little broader scale to ultimately save some dollars in local tax within our own budgets, and also to ensure the uniformity of the fleet.
Okay, sir. Members, any questions yet of the testifier? Yes, Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sheriff, I'm not that familiar with the current statute in this regard, but if you run a fleet, is it possible to have both brown and white cars in use at the same time?
Mr. Chair, committee member, yes, it would be possible, although it would not be in compliance with the uniformity aspect of it. And there are some sheriff's offices that currently do run a variety of different colors in their fleet. Part of the challenge becomes not just with the statute, the lack of the uniformity, but also the recognizable aspect of it. You know, if we have three different types of vehicles patrolling around our county, then people aren't always sure who they're dealing with.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hilty.
Thank you. Well, Sheriff, if this bill became law, I presume you would be wanting to go to a different color. Would you then be operating vehicles with different colors for some period of time?
Yeah. Sheriff Stewart?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Hiltree, the partnership, we did a quick informal survey. We reached out to 16 other counties, and I have the list here if anybody wanted to hear all the counties, but it's from all over the state. And what we found is that there's some that are running non-uniform fleets. Many are running all-white vehicles by limited options. They really would rather not. It's certainly the desire to run other options as requested. Black and gold are specifically the ones that the sheriffs have indicated an interest in having. And the primary reason for that is, as we look at the manufacturers, all of the main manufacturers that are providing, whether it's the sedans or the specialty units that are out there, they typically offer black and white. They do not offer brown. And so we're trying to have a little more diversity to meet the needs of our cities as well. And in the case of Anoka County, we provide the exclusive law enforcement services for 8 of the 21 communities in Anoka County. And we have specifically had requests from cities to not run white cars and to have a little more specific identifiers. And so we're trying to meet their needs. We likely would be exploring black vehicles. Yes, sir.
And Mr. Chair. Sheriff, do you have any concern about the amendment then? I mean, if we're concerned that there is some kind of uniformity and that your cars would not be confused with any other, do you have any concern about allowing security vehicles to possibly be confused with the sheriff's vehicle?
Sheriff Stewart.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hiltree, I really don't. I think it's a short-term crossover. If you were to scan the state right now, you'd find, I don't know of any security companies firsthand that are running gold vehicles, but I do know of sheriff's vehicles that are currently running gold with the argument that it's a variation of brown, if you will. I'm not one of them, but I am not concerned with that specifically. I think certainly with the cap on it as well, you know, as these vehicles reach their life expectancy and whatever the new mandate would be for the security vehicles would eliminate that concern.
Well, Mr. Chair, do you have any concerns in that regard?
None whatsoever. Okay. We have a quorum now, so we'll bring the meeting to order. And would somebody approve the minutes, remove the minutes of?
Roll call.
What's that?
Roll
call. Oh, yeah, we got to do a roll call. So the Mr. Sparby will take the roll.
Chairman Cornish?
Here.
Vice Chairman Woodard?
Here.
Representative Mullery? Representative Doubt?
Here.
Representative Gothier?
Here.
Representative Grunhagen?
Here.
Representative Hilty?
Here.
Representative Johnson? Representative Kelly?
Here.
Representative Kiefer?
Here.
Representative Kreisel?
Here.
Representative Leidiger?
Here.
Representative McDonald?
Here.
Representative Moran?
Here.
Representative Nornes?
Here.
Representative Slocum?
Here.
Representative Smith?
Here.
Okay, a quorum being present, what are the date of the minutes we're going to be up to? Somebody move the minutes from February 16th.
So moved.
Oh, yeah. Representative McDonald moves the minutes of February 16th. Any additions or corrections? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Now the chair will move House File 1835, recommended to pass, and move to the General Register. And then we will move the A1 amendment. We've heard the A1 amendment. I think we've been discussed. Any questions on the A1 amendment? If not, all in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay. And Representative Doubt, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Scott, thanks for bringing this bill forward. I know my sheriff's department is in favor of it. My question, I guess, and maybe for the testifier, is have there been any instances where the legality of an arrest has been challenged because the car was not compliant or anything like that? I mean, I heard a story that that was a potential, but have there been any instances where that's actually been the case?
Mr. Chair, committee, Chair not Stewart. That I'm aware of.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, the chair would renew the motion on House File 1835. Be recommended that. What? I don't think there's any list testifiers listed. The chair would move House File 1835 to recommended to pass and move to the general register. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Okay. Thank you, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee.
Thank you.
Representative Scott, I want to know why the pink was in the.
That's reserved for Mary
Hagen. Oh, okay. Grunhagen. Representative Grunhagen, are you ready?
With padlocks.
Yep. His is 1666. Okay, Representative Grunhagen, since you're on the committee, you want to go ahead and move your bill?
Yes, I'll move the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Grunhagen moves 1665 for consideration and to be passed on to
Judiciary.
Judiciary Committee. Do you have any amendments, Representative Grunhagen?
I do have one oral amendment.
Okay, you want to address that now?
It's just on the back page. It says effective date August 1st, 2011, and we'd like to change it August 1st, 2012.
Okay, we're in the.
We don't want to make anybody a felon backdate it was.
2012. So in line 2.10, you want to change 2011 to 2012?
That's correct.
Okay. Members, you've heard that oral amendment. Unless there's any objections, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. The bill as amended. Representative Grunhagen, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Thank you for the opportunity to present House File 1665 to the committee. This initiative was brought to me by the Minnesota County Attorneys Association and is a top priority for their organization this session. The bill is short and simply includes felony-level assault, domestic assault, fifth-degree assault, and assault by strangulation to the crimes listed as crimes of violence. The domestic requirement of these crimes is particularly troubling given the high percentage of violent acts committed against victims closely related to the offender. Inclusion of these offenses within the crimes of violence framework directly adheres to the policies and goals already set in Minnesota to create a safer environment for potential and future victims and society as a whole. I urge you your support for this legislation. Next, I'd like to introduce my testifier, Rick Diesterhoff. He's with the Criminal Division Director for the Ramsey County Attorney's Office, who can give some additional information about the bill and the need for it and its technical implications.
Yes, sir, could you go ahead and state your name and your title and proceed?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Richard Diesterhoff. I'm the Criminal Division Director for the Ramsey County Attorney's Office. And the first thing I wanted to point out is that this proposed bill only applies to felony-level offenses. So it's only a felony level offense, assault in the fifth degree, only the felony level domestic assault, and then of course domestic assault by strangulation is always a felony. So what that means is for assault in the fifth degree, in order to be a felony, first of all it has to be an act with the intent to cause fear of immediate bodily harm or death, or an intentional act or attempt to cause bodily harm in another. With respect to assault in the fifth degree, then it has to be one of those violations against the same victim for the third time within 10 years, or against any victim for the third time within 3 years. Those are the only ways that an assault in the fifth degree can be a felony. With respect to domestic assault, in order to be a felony, it has to involve a family or household member, and then again, it has to be an act with intent to cause fear of immediate bodily harm or death, or an intentional attempt to inflict or cause bodily harm. And again, then it would have to be the third violation within 10 years in order to be a felony level offense. So with respect to assault 5 or domestic assault, we're talking about a third offense in order to be a felony, and only then would you become subject to the restrictions of the crimes of violence. With respect to domestic assault by strangulation, the definition is an assault on a family member by strangulation. And again, first-time offense there would be a felony, but that would subject the defendant then to the restrictions of crimes of violence. I'd like to just point out briefly that these crimes fit generally into the list of crimes that this is going to be applied to. Crimes of violence include such offenses as felony drug offenses, simple robbery, theft of motor vehicle, stalking, and even terroristic threats. So the threat to commit a violent crime would subject someone to the firearm restrictions of this. This bill would apply to assault 5, domestic assault, and domestic assault by strangulation. The effect of all of this, the effect of adding these to this list of crimes, is to bring Minnesota law in line with federal law. Title 18, United States Code, Chapter 922, Section G1, makes anyone who has ever been convicted of a felony ineligible to possess firearms. This would make, under Minnesota law, would make anyone who had any of these convictions ineligible for life to possess firearms. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Any questions so far? Representative Smith?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question of the author, but if there's other testifiers, I'll wait.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Grunhagen, maybe you mentioned this already, but what is there a fiscal note with this?
Fiscal note has been requested. We haven't received it back yet.
Okay.
It is going to another committee, so hopefully by then it will be there.
Okay. Representative Smith, you want to ask your question now?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of the author, Representative Grunhagen, I believe there's no Senate companion to this bill as of yesterday. You introduced the bill May 5, 2011. You've had 9 months to find a Senate author. What's the progress there? What's the status? Why are we hearing a bill that has no Senate companion?
I'll answer that after the committee hearing. No. Just
Mr.
kidding.
I think Mr. Kingery is here. He might shed some light on it, Representative Grunhagen. Mr. Kingery, go ahead and say your name and title, and what's the answer?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is John Kingery, speaking on behalf of the Minnesota County Attorneys Association. We had been working with another chief author in the Senate who a couple of weeks ago indicated that he was carrying too many bills, and so Senator Latz will be introducing the bill this week.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Representative Smith. Any other questions for the author of the bill? Seems pretty straightforward. If not, any other people out here want to say something? All right. The House File 1665, do you want to renew your motion to pass it as amended?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'll renew the motion to pass House File 1665 and move it to civil law. Nope. Judiciary.
Okay. House File 1665, Representative Grunhagen has moved to recommend it to pass and sent to the judiciary as amended. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you, Representative Grunhagen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Doubt, are you prepared? And let's see, which number are we on? Let's see, House File 2246, do you want to move your bill? And
certainly, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I would move House File 2246 and recommend that it be sent to the General Register. Judiciary, I'm sorry.
Okay, Representative Doubt moves House File 2246, recommended to pass, and move to the Judiciary. Representative Doubt, why don't you go ahead and present your bill? Do you have any amendments?
I do not.
Okay, you can go ahead and present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. This is a bill that that aims to fix something that we believe was an oversight in statute for something that was done back in 2006, and it has to do with the enhancement of penalties for DWI offenses for repeat offenses. So I do have someone here as a guest, Tara Ferguson-Lopez, Assistant Mille Lacs County Attorney, and she can tell you a little bit about some circumstances that she's experienced because of this error in statute.
Ma'am, you want to state your name and title and proceed with your testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Tara Ferguson-Lopez, and I'm an Assistant Mille Lacs County Attorney. I am here because of some of the issues that this bill seeks to address, what we believe is was a legislative oversight. I had a file that went to the Court of Appeals, State versus Retzlaff. Previous issues arose before that didn't go up on appeal, but this case went up on appeal with regard to an individual who had previously had a criminal vehicular operation resulting in substantial bodily harm felony conviction from 2000. Charged him with a felony DUI after he committed an offense in 2009. He moved to have that matter dismissed as charged as a felony, given the way that the statute was reorganized in 2007. What happened in 2007 was the legislature had appeared to renumber the statute in order to take out some duplicative language. However, they did not in the felony DWI enhancement portion of that statute of 169.824 change or refer to the old criminal vehicular operation numbers, only the new ones as amended effective August 1st, 2007. And therefore, there's a what can be deemed a loophole, I guess, in the statute as to who can be charged and what CVO offenses prior to that date can be used for enhancing to a felony DWI. This case, the Court of Appeals has upheld the district court's ruling at this point, but it is proceeding further at this time, and we're seeking to have the oversight corrected so that we can avoid further litigation on this issue.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Lopez. Any questions so far from anybody in the committee? All right. Representative Doubt, do you have any other testifiers for or against? Representative Doubt, do you have any closing remarks on your bill?
Not necessarily. I think it's just a fairly simple bill that will fix something that was an oversight in statute in past legislative sessions. So I'd like to renew, Mr. Chairman, my motion to that 2246 be recommended to pass and referred to the Judiciary Committee.
Okay, you folks have heard the motion. Any objections or comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, Representative Dell. Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
All right, and
what's that?
Nobody wants to see those maps.
Do I have to vote against this part?
Good morning. How are you?
They put you in the
Chair Cornish, would you like to move your bill? Mr. Chair and members, House File 1938 proposes to correct something we'd like, well, actually change an existing statute and add a law enforcement agency into the people who can draw their own search warrants. And the unit would be the Fugitive Apprehension Unit that is left out of the statute and who can draw their own. It's caused problems having to get someone else to help the warrant. So this is an efficiency measure and just bring it in line with the other. I should note that if you look at the list of different law enforcement agencies on 1.15 on down the rest of the page, that's not the original list or has been units since the bill was formed or the statute was formed that added it on. And this is another one. And my testifier, Director Gerlicher, will address the bill and tell you why the need for it and who's in favor of it and supports it.
Chair Cornish, before we go, I understand you're looking at laying this bill over for possible inclusion of a later bill?
Yes. Sorry, Mr. Chairman, you would like to move it for now, 1938, for consideration and just laying over for a possible inclusion in an omnibus bill. Thank you.
So noted. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Carrie Gerlicher, and I'm the Chief Law Enforcement Officer for the Minnesota Department of Corrections Fugitive Apprehension Unit. Committee members, the legislature created the Minnesota Department of Corrections Fugitive Apprehension Unit in the year 2000. At the time, there were some concerns in the law enforcement community that the fugitive unit would become heavily involved in narcotics cases and other cases in municipalities that they had no reason to be involved in. And at that point in time, it was decided that law enforcement agencies wished that the fugitive unit did not have search warrant authority. Statute language currently limits the fugitive unit asset forfeiture participation to cash, and that's it. We have no desire to broaden that request whatsoever. We have no desire to change the asset forfeiture process. That has been a concern of some people as well. In the past 10 years, we've taken all of $15,000 off the street, and in return have given over $50,000 back to local law enforcement agencies in investigations that have involved both the fugitive unit as well as municipal and county agencies. New technology with cell phones and computers has greatly increased our need for search warrant authority. We arrest over 400 convicted felons every year, and oftentimes the apprehension is based on a search warrant that has to do with locating cell phones. Currently, we request search warrants to be written by counties like Ramsey County and U.S. Marshals or other law enforcement agencies on our behalf. There are times when we are out working on a case in a jurisdiction. The jurisdiction obviously knows we are there. That's part of the statute language as it currently exists, that we notify that agency. And when a search warrant needs to be written, we're pulling an investigator from that law enforcement agency out into the street to work on a case that they're not familiar with, and it's stopping them from doing the good work they're already doing for that jurisdiction. So at this point in time, we're just requesting permission that the fugitive unit be capable of writing and executing their own search warrants.
Thank you, Ms. Hulicker. Any questions of the committee? Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question initially was why specifically, I mean, it's not like the fugitive apprehension unit was overlooked. It's specifically excluded in the statute and the language that's being stricken in this bill. And you sort of touched on that in your testimony, but to the testifier, and I'm sorry I neglected to note your name.
Ms. Hulicker? Sorry, Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Cornish, can you kind of elaborate on why this exclusion was there in the first place, and more about what the activity of this unit typically is?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hilty, part of the reason I think is probably a turf thing with the sheriffs, which the sheriffs I think now support this, and one by one, when people were added onto this, there were other people excluded before. I believe the conservation officers a number of years ago, and had to get assistance, and it turned out to be a hassle, and we were added to the list. And this same thing the Fugitive Apprehension Unit is going through now. They have to adhere to all the same requirements, probable cause, judges, everything in statute that these other agencies have to do, this Fugitive Apprehension Unit would have to do too. And now with their policy of notifying the jurisdiction that they're in of their activities and being a very professional unit that they are and making major arrests, it just turned into a real problem if they have to call for assistance every time they want to draw up a warrant. And I know of no opposition from the other law enforcement or chiefs or sheriffs about them doing this. So.
Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Ms. Gerlicher, that answered part of the question, but could you elaborate on what the typical activities of this unit are?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Representative Hilty, statutory language prescribes that the Fugitive Apprehension Unit only has the authority to arrest Department of Corrections warranted fugitives. So that is what we spend our time. You have a level 3 sex offender who's violated their release agreement, an agent issues a warrant at 3 o'clock in the morning, my officers are on the street by 4 a.m. You have a loss of life offender who has violated or done some maybe new criminal activity, a warrant is issued, and the Fugitive Apprehension Unit, their responsibility is apprehending those Department of Corrections warranted fugitives. I also have two members of the team currently that have been assigned to the U.S. Marshals Task Force, so they do have the authority also to assist the U.S. Marshals in apprehending fugitives that have entered the state of Minnesota from another state.
Thank you.
Any other questions of the committee? Are there any other testifiers who'd like to testify in favor of this bill? Anyone who would like to testify opposing this bill? Okay. That, Chair Cornish, do you have any other closing comments?
Oh, no. Thank you for your attention, and you can go ahead and lay the bill over for possible inclusion if you wish, Mr. Chair.
Okay. The Chair does lay over House File 1938 for possible inclusion of the later bill. And committee members, our next meeting will be Thursday, 10:15, the 23rd. And with that, this meeting's adjourned.